Good morning. Good morning. That was a great song, because that's what we're all here about, right? Jesus, the one who walks on water. I love to think about that. Pretty impressive when you think about somebody walking on water. But I want to ask you something. Have you ever thought about this? That is impressive, right? I mean, I don't think none of you've done it yet, have you? I hadn't either, just in case any of you was wondering. But think about this. Pretty impressive to think about Jesus walking on water. But think about when he steps out on the clouds of glory. Do you ever think about it that way? Pretty impressive to walk on water. But when he steps out on the clouds of glory, that's impressive. That's very impressive. Beautiful song, beautiful song. Good to see everyone here this morning. Dax, Tracy, we're all proud of you guys. Can I tell a little quick story? I get this phone call Saturday. Hey there, McCormick, what you doing? Y'all guess who that was? I said, well, I'm watching Bonanza. And it just so happened old Hoss was on there. Some of you seen Bonanza, hadn't you? And I said, he was the original DJ Dax. But then the only thing I did go on and tell him, he went through this same story with me. You know, now look, McCormick, we don't want no long nothing. We just want to come up there. We want to get married. We're not having no reception or anything. I said, well, Dax, the only thing I hate about this whole thing is I really wanted to eat on your dime. Anyway, I don't guess none of us is going to get to, right? So. He did tell me, though, he'd carry me out to eat sometime. That was nice of him. Again, visitors are here with us today. We're glad to have you, all you regular folks. Good to see a lot of people back. I know folks been traveling, and then sickness has kept some folks away, and we're just glad that everyone's back and good, just a good spirit. Glad the Lord's here above everything, right? Amen. Stand together if you would. Take a moment of time. Shake hands with someone seated there around you if you would. Okay. I want to invite you to read along with us this morning in the book of Numbers. It's the 13th chapter, Numbers chapter number 13. I'm going to look at several verses in there. We're just going to read something to get started. How about that? And go from there. If I were to say to all of us today, because you hear this term a lot, divine providence. Do you really understand what that means? In its most simplistic term, when you say that, when you talk about divine providence, you're talking about God being in complete control of everything. And that's a very simplistic definition. You could go a lot further than that, but that's really... Divine providence asserts that God is in control, or that God has a plan. And I believe very much today that God has a plan. I think God has a plan for everybody. The thing about it is it comes down to us as an individual what we do with God's plan. Now, this particular passage in this story, it does deal collectively with a group and what they chose to do as a group, but there was also individuals that goes out and comes back with a report and comes to their own conclusion. So there is the idea, and the thought also runs through this, that as an individual, you either choose to accept God's divine providence and believe that God is in control of everything, and you believe that God has a plan for you in your life, or you may believe that God has a plan, but you within yourself decide that you're not going to follow God's plan. You're going to deviate from it in some way. And you're going to also see in this, I know folks are very familiar, you will be when we start reading this and start talking about this, you're going to understand a lot of this. But some folks, you know, Tony Porter said something to me one Sunday, or not one Sunday, one Wednesday, and it's really stuck with me. And he said, Ron, he said, I'm not being corrective of you. And he wouldn't. He absolutely was not being that at all. I'm in the habit of saying sometimes that scripture that I read is sometimes things that we've heard all of our lives. And that is true for a vast majority of people. But you know what? This is a point that Tony made to me, and I appreciate this being pointed out. He said, there's a lot of folks there that have either never heard it or they've just got to the age where it's going to mean something to them. And that's very true. So you never wear out old stories in the Bible. Yes, a lot of us, if you've got some age on you, it may be stories that you have heard from your childhood. And you may have heard various preachers over the year just preach on those sermons and stories from the Bible. But I can guarantee you one thing. We have never wore any of them out. And they are just as much relevant today as they were yesterday or 10 years ago if it was preached, or 20 years ago or 5 years ago. They're still very important to us, and they still speak to us very much so. So this is a story when the children of Israel had finally followed God, and they had got their freedom from the bondage that they'd been in Egypt. And God gets them all the way to the point and to the place of entering into the land that He has promised to them. Now that's divine providence. That's God's will. And God was in complete control of everything. And God had a plan for His people. And that's why I still reiterate and say today that God has a plan for every single one of us. So when you begin in chapter number 13 of the book of Numbers, it's where it starts with God giving directions to Moses and telling him how to go about this and what He wants him to do and what He wants the people to do. So let's just begin right there. The word of the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send the men that they may search out the land of Canaan. Now we'll just stop right there because we see what's happening and we see what God has required and what God has asked. They are going to, first of all, I want you to understand this. They were very, I guess you could say, diplomatic in the way that He sends them out, because He gets a guy from each one of those 12 tribes to represent the tribe. Calls all them together. And they're doing what, you know, in the business world today, what they done, they were doing a feasibility study. He sends them out. He tells them to go out and check out everything and see what's going on. And we're going to look at that a little bit further into this, but I want you to just get the background of what's going on. So He sends all of these men out. Moses sends them out to spy out this land, or to look at it and to just to see what's there and what could be and what happened and what's going on and what the land is like. So it goes through that long list of all of those names that have been sent out. And then He comes to verse number 17. We're going to fast forward a little bit and get to verse 17. Moses sends them to spy out the land of Canaan. He said to them to go up to southward, and He said to go into the mountain region. And He tells them everything to look for. He said, go and He said, look at the land. He said, go see what that land is really like. This is the land that God has promised to you. Go see what it's like. Go see what's there. Go see what the people in that land are like. Go see if they are, if they've got homes, if they've got strongholds, if they're fortified cities. Just go see everything that you can possibly see about this land and what's going on there in it. tells him, said, go see if there's many. See if there's a lot of people there. See if there's just a few people there. See if there are people that are there. See if they're weak or if they're strong people. All of this is the direction that he gives them. He said, go see if there are people that dwells there. Do they dwell in tents or do they dwell in buildings? Go look at the land. See if the land is fertile land or if it's not. All of this was the directions that God has given to his people to go out there and see what it's all about. He said, see if the land, see what kind of fruit it produces. See what comes from the land itself. Look at all of this. See everything. So they do that. They go and they're faithful to do this. They go and they spend, the Bible tells us that they're there for 40 days. They're looking out, spying out, checking out, doing this study, seeing what's going on, seeing everything that's there, just as the Lord has commanded of them. Well, then they come back. They come back with a report. And you know, somebody one time wanted to know when Baptists got started. Well, Baptists have always been around because they had to have another meeting. They sound like Baptists, don't they? Yeah. So they decide that, you know, we've got to have another meeting, you know, before we can make any kind of decision. And meetings are not bad. Don't take that the wrong way, anybody. It's just a little humor. So they come back with this report. And when they get back, they begin, and really when they begin in a good way. They begin in a very positive way about everything that they've seen, everything that there is there. They, in fact, if you read the story, the cluster of grapes is so big that they bring back that there's actually two men bearing this cluster of grapes. They've got it on this pole between their shoulders, and they've draped this big branch cluster of grapes across that, and they're bearing it and they're bringing it back, and they bring that back and they begin to tell everybody. They're looking, you know, and man, can you imagine when everybody sees this big cluster of grapes, and they bring back the what is it else they bring back, pomegranates and the figs and everything that they bring back after they'd been out there for all those 40 days. And they go on to make the statement that we hear a lot of times, it's the land of milk and honey. In other words, they were saying, everything that we could possibly need is right there before us. God's plan, okay? But in order to enjoy any of that, there's a requirement. And that requirement is in that plan that God has and in the providence of God, that you've got to be willing to go all the way with God. You can never stop short and just get to the point. The saddest thing, I think, in the world is to come to a place where God wants you to be, and just all you can do is visualize it and never be a part of it. Isn't that the saddest thing in the world today? There's a lot of people that looks at the Bible and they may say, and they may believe that the Bible is the true word of God, but yet they never surrender their life to Christ. Where have they come to? They have come to the point, but yet they've stopped short. They can see all of it. They see every bit of what God offers to humanity and mankind, but they never come to a relationship with God through Christ. Why? Stop short. God always has a plan. God has a plan. Listen to me. Every single person in here today, God has a plan for you. God has the opportunity for every person here today to be a child of God. Very biblical that none should perish, but that all would come to the saving grace of God. God doesn't wish that any would perish. God... it's a good opportunity to say this, and I will, and I don't have no idea who all may be visiting today and what your theological beliefs may be, but I will tell you this. The Bible teaches very plainly that God desires that none should perish, very plainly. And the idea and thought that some, that God has predestined some to heaven and some to hell, I just cannot go along with. And I really just cannot find it to ring true in the Bible. And folks that believe that, and I may have said this before, but people that believe that, have you ever talked to someone that believes that? Have you ever talked to someone that believes in predestination? In other words, that God has foreordained some to heaven and He's foreordained some to hell, and you have no choice. There is nothing that you can do about it. It's been predetermined, and there's absolute, you have no choice in it. People believe that. But the only thing about that, I've never run into anybody that believed that, that said, you know what, preacher? I'm one of those that was predestined to hell. I have yet to find one that would tell me that, yeah, you know what, I'm the one that didn't make it. Because if you believe that, there's got to be some that's going to and some that's not. So there's got to be somebody in that group that's going to be able to say, preacher, I'm the one. There's no chance for me. I'm doomed forever and all eternity in hell. I've never met that person yet that falls under those beliefs. Anyway, that kind of deviated from everything, but it's something you need to know. It's something you need to believe and something you need to understand. But let's get back to this now. So they're going to stop short. And they're going to stop short because just simply they become afraid. Now, how many times do we realize that, you know what, to serve God and to work for God in any capacity, there is always a little bit of risk involved because there's always the unknown to some degree involved in it. And so there's always this little bit of apprehension that we just have because we're human beings. And we don't understand things. But when we come to the place and we understand what divine providence is, and we understand that God is in control of everything, and we understand that if God has a plan for you or if God has a plan for me, that He will always see it through. And that it will always work. But what happens? What happens in our life so many times? Well, we're just like these people. They get there, everything looks good, but then they begin to tell about these people, and one of the groups is the Anak, and that actually means giant. So they see these people that are very large people. To them, they were giants, and they become afraid. Now, what happens so many times when people, when you are, what do you, if I ask you personally today, if we got it on a very personal level to each one of us, what do you see in your future? Do you see, is all that you ever look at and see is giants? Or do you ever see the hand of God truly working in your life and truly believing that God will give you guidance and God will give you direction? Or do you just look at everything that is surrounding you and you become so afraid that you can't even trust and believe God? That's exactly what had happened to these people. Everything that they were visualizing and everything that they were seeing had brought about fear. It had stifled them to stop them short from going all the way with God because of what they looked at and seen. You and I today as Christians, we're not called to a lifestyle of ease. In fact, we're called to a lifestyle of the cross. The cross was not an easy thing. The cross was a challenge for Christ. And that's what we're called today when we take up our cross and follow Jesus. It's not going to always be an easy thing. It wouldn't be easy to go in and take this land, but God had promised this land. And that's where we come short so many times in our lives. God promises, and yet we get to that point and we stop short because what happens to you and I? We see the giants. What's the giants in our lives? It's the things that just brings fear. It's the things that just causes us to stop short. When we realize that God is a part of this plan and we realize that God wants us to go forward, but we see all the things that are a hindrance to us. We see the things that are bigger than we are and they strike fear into us. And so we stop short of where God wants us to really be with His plan. And that's exactly what happened to them. But do you know something that you've also, this is something you've heard all of your life, and I would question all of us, how much do we really believe it? Have you ever heard this saying, if God is in it, it will work? You ever heard that? Sure you have. If you've been in church much at all, you've heard that all your life. If God is in it, it'll work. Well, I wonder how many times we realize that God is in something, yet we stop short because we become afraid. And we let fear stifle us, stop us, keep us from going forward. And that's exactly what happened with these people. And it comes down to another question for us. What decision will you make in your life, in your personal life? What decision will you make? Are you going to make a decision to go forward and go all the way with God and trust God? Listen, if you're here and you're a child of God, if you've been saved by the grace of God, there is one time in your life that you had to make the decision that you was going to go all the way. You could not come up short on that one. You either took Him for everything that He was or you took Him for nothing. You either went all the way with Him or you went nowhere with Him. So, again, the question to us as individuals today, then as we grow in our Christian walk and in our Christian faith, do we find ourselves coming to points and times in our lives when we know that God has a plan for us, and yet we become so afraid that we won't go forward and we're just as soon to go backwards, or we're just soon to say, you know what, it's not all that bad just right here. I'll just stay right here where I'm at. Well, stay right there where you're at, and you'll never enter the promised land. You'll never enjoy all the things that God has for you in your life. If you don't follow God's plan, if you're not willing to be faithful and to step out in faith, then you'll never enjoy everything that God has for you. These were God's people. God was guiding them. God was giving them direction. But they still had to be obedient and willing to take every step that God put in front of them. And that's the same thing with you and I today as individuals. It's very true about a church. A church as a whole, we've got to be willing to step forward with God's plans. And listen, I'm not talking about by no means building a crowd. I love to see big crowds, I do. But I'm more interested in building a congregation of people that are dedicated to the cause of Christ. You can have a crowd anywhere. There's a difference in a crowd and a congregation of believers. There's a difference in a crowd and a congregation of dedicated people that look to God and trust Him for every step of the way. When we miss that, folks, we've missed it. Today in so many of our churches, do you know what's become the Sunday school of America today? Talk shows. You can agree with that or not. But that's what guides and stares so many people. And it's because in you and I as Christian and as church people, it's because in you, it's dumbing down the church, really. I know that sounds kind of harsh. But it is because of all this. Do you know what old Vance Havner said back in the 70s. Vance Havner made this statement. He said, we have become a people who are ashamed of our own theology. He said, we've become a people that don't like to use words like sin and repentance. It's a shame today, but that he said that back in the 70s. And if it was true in the 70s, I guarantee it's true in 2020. We become people that are afraid of our own language. We're afraid to really talk about salvation, being saved. Folks, those are the essentials. Those are the things that counts, and those are the things that matters most in any church. And the day you throw them out the door, you just wells to be the Kiwanis Club. Because those are the things that matters, and those are the things that count. And we need to reclaim our language. There's nothing wrong. Listen, let me ask you something. What can wash away my sins? What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that can wash away your sins. So what's wrong with singing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What's wrong with saying, what can save me? Nothing but the blood. Without the shed blood of Christ, there's absolutely no redemption for nobody. So there's never nothing wrong with talking about the blood of the Lamb. Somebody might say, well, preacher, that's old school. I'm going to tell you what, that's sound doctrine is what that is. That's sound, truthful doctrine. And you get all the modern ideas you want to, but when you get away from that, you've got away from it all. And by no means are we. I don't think Hightower Church is headed down that road at all. As long as we keep things like this in mind, and as long as we realize the importance of that. Church, you know, church got all kind of plans for everything. You don't need no 12-step program. You need a Savior, is what you need. I won't never forget a preacher I went and listened to, pastored a mega church. I mean, thousands and thousands of people at his services on Sunday mornings. And this was back when the Left Behind series was real popular. And you may have enjoyed those fictional books, because that's what they are, of the Left Behind series. You may have read them. You may have enjoyed them. That's fine if you did. I'm not being ugly or something, anything like that. But I never will forget what that preacher said. He said, you know, he said, I have never had anybody come in my study or my office and say, preacher, could you explain Left Behind to me? But he said, I have had people come in my office and say, preacher, I need a Savior. I need to know what it is to be saved. I need to know what it is to be in a relationship with God. That's what we need to share with people. That's what people need to know about. That's what going forward is. That's what's not stopping short. That's what's not being afraid of the things that looks like they're so much bigger than you and I sometimes. We're a community of believers. And that's what they were. But there was only out of that bunch, there's only two guys that comes back with an honest report. And old Caleb, out of that tribe of Judah, which is the same tribe that our Savior comes out of, he's the one that says, come on, let's go. Let's take it. We can make it. God is in it and we're going to do it. And the rest of them said, nah, they're too big. We can't do it. It'll never happen. It's just not going to work. They wouldn't willing to step out in faith. Sometimes when you and I step out in faith, sometimes things don't happen as fast as we want them to, and we can get discouraged by that. But don't let that discourage you. And really and truly, when you look at this, you got to ask yourself this question. Would we be willing to follow Moses or the mob? Because that's what they ended up doing. They ended up, instead of following the directions of God, they caved in because of fear. Wasn't willing to go all the way as Joshua and Caleb wanted them to. And Joshua and Caleb is the only two out of that whole generation that gets to see the promised land because of their faithfulness and because they were willing to go all the way with God. And then, let me go back, but I'm going to go back forward just a minute. I'm fixing to quit, I promise. Caleb steal the people before Moses and said, this verse 30, steal the people before Moses said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You got to love that guy in that statement right there. He was all in. He was very committed. He was very much believed that that whatever God was in, they could take it. But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report in the land which they had searched, and the children of Israel, saying, the land, though we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come to the giants and were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. Do you see? Fear stopped them from understanding the divine providence of God and understanding that God had a plan. And then the other thing that I did want to close with you, real quickly, if you just fast forward into that next chapter, you know what they done? Now, this is all God's plan, but nobody wanted to go with it, okay? So the congregation lifted up their voice, it says, and they cried and they wept that night. And now listen what they done. The children of Israel, this whole congregation, this whole crowd. You know who they turned on? Their leadership. I'm not trying to get no pity party. Whether it's your pastor, whether it's your deacons. Sometimes when they try to lead and really doing the best they know how. And really, I think, faithfully following God and what the Lord wants. They begin to murmur. That's just another way of saying, let's get rid of the preacher. That's what they done. Because they wouldn't. And it was not. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't the leadership's fault. It wasn't the preacher's fault. It wasn't the deacon's fault. It wasn't the Sunday school teacher's fault. It wasn't none of that. The fault lie within the fact that the people didn't want to be obedient to God. The problem was that they wanted to stop short. The problem was that they weren't willing to trust God. But what has humanity always wanted to do when there's a problem? What do we still today? You know, you can be honest or fib about it. I'm going to be honest. Most time we don't want to take responsibility. We'd rather just say, it's because of so-and-so. Right? Just pass it on to somebody else. So they decided, you know what? We'll just blame on Moses and Aaron. We'll just be mad at them. It's their fault. It wasn't Moses and Aaron's fault.
It was their own fault because they just would not be obedient and follow God. If you come short of being obedient and following God, don't blame it on nobody else. Look at yourself. If you stand before God in judgment someday, and you've heard the message, you've heard preaching, you've heard that Christ is the way, you've heard that there's no other way save Jesus and Jesus alone, don't stand before Him and say, but, you know. I mean, it's not going to work. It's your own fault. You heard, and you had the opportunity to do something about it, and you chose not to. So God has a plan for all of us. God has a plan for you today. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you've never been saved, what's God's plan for you? That none should perish, but that all would come to salvation. That's God's plan for you. Ron, if you have a song for us, we're going to ask the congregation, if you would please stand. Sing this hymn of invitation. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you've never been saved, we invite you while we sing this verse of song.